Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, June 16th, Missions Monday. We had a lot going on in the worship services yesterday with the children singing their song from VBS, so we don't have a mission partner. But since yesterday was also Father's Day, we want to be praying for the mission of fathers in our church and in our world. And also at the end of the podcast, we'll pray a prayer specifically for our fathers. This week, I am reading from the Message paraphrase, and we're in the book of Romans. This is our second day in Romans, and we'll be in Romans for two more days as we think about Paul and his letter to this group of believers. In today's passage, Paul is wrestling with the fact that even as a Christian, we still struggle with sin. As Paul lays out this inner struggle for us, we must remember that we as believers have been transformed and our identity is no longer in that sinful nature. Our identity is in Christ. And so as we go through this passage, I'm going to have some commentary at the end just from Tim Keller's book, Romans 1 through 7 for you. Our passage is starting in Romans 7, verse 14. I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself, after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in the delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. I want to read that last verse in the ESV. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Honestly, I want to keep reading on because that's where we get into. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, what do we do with a passage like this? Well, for me, I went to Tim Keller's commentary to think a little bit more about what the struggle of sin says about us as believers. I'll read some of it here. Paul is recognizing that we all are aware of conflicting desires. We have, in some sense, multiple selves. Sometimes we want to do this. Sometimes we want to do that. Morally, most people feel torn between diverse selves as well. Skipping down. For a Christian, the question of which is my true self or what do I want most is settled, even though the conflict isn't. The law of God is our inmost delight. Of course, Paul sees that there is still a powerful force of sin and rebellion within, but those desires are not truly him. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me. A Christian has had an identity transformation. Then I'm going to skip over to another part. Paul's words here are both a twofold warning and wonderful comfort to us. First, they warn us that no one ever gets so advanced in the Christian life that they no longer see their sin. This is the Apostle Paul talking. If we ever perceived ourselves to be over sin, if we ever feel ourselves to be pretty good Christians, we are deceived. Even when we know and see ourselves making progress against many bad habits and attitudes, we will grow more aware of the rebellious, selfish roots still within us. Second, we're being warned that no one gets so advanced that they don't struggle with sin. It is quite important to expect a fight with our sinful nature. But this passage also greatly comforts us. It is typical when we struggle with sin to think that we must be a terrible person or very wicked or immature to have such wrestling. But Romans 7 encourages us that temptation and conflict with sin, even some relapses into sin, are consistent with being a Christian. And so we have several cries in response. First, there's that desperate cry of discouragement when we look at ourselves and our own failings. And then there's the cry of hope that ended our passage today. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord for the liberation and the looking away from ourselves to what God has done. Our second passage today is Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 42. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. He quoted a proverb, "Can a blind man guide a blind man? Wouldn't they both end up in the ditch?" An apprentice doesn't lecture the master. The point is to be careful who you follow as your teacher. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, "Let me wash your face for you," when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this "I know better than you" mentality again, playing the holier-than-thou part instead of just living your own part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Goodness gracious, that passage was chock full of encouragement for who we should be as believers, and in the message, it was like listening to it anew. Some takeaways. Let's don't jump on others and their failures. If you find yourself criticizing today, evaluate it. Are you trying to help someone else, or are you condemning those who are downcast? Okay, here's another one. Giving, not getting, is the way. I love that. And finally, if you see somebody else having a smudge on their face, look in the mirror first and make sure you don't have a big old blob in your teeth or something on your face. And when you offer your neighbor a washcloth, let them know that you too needed to be cleansed from your sin. Our final passage today is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Thank you for contending with me in the scriptures. Lord, we do pray today that you would help us to be a people who struggle less with sin, that we're quicker to repent and slower to repeat. And we thank you for your word in Luke's gospel. Help us to be generous people. Help us not to be critical just for the sake of being critical. And also, Lord, if we see another in sin, help us to restore them gently. We want to pray today, Lord, for fathers. Thank you for our biological fathers, especially those who have been such a blessing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual fathers, those who have brought us along in the faith and have taught us in word and in deed. Sometimes, even without saying a word, they have instructed us so much, and we give you praise and thanks for them. We pray, Lord, thanking you for the memory of those who have gone on to be with you. We ask, Lord, that you in your watch care would comfort our grieving hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for new fathers, those who are just starting the journey of fatherhood, that you would help them to remember that you as their father are guiding them. Help them to stay close to you and to lead their children in paths of righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for all men today. We thank you, Lord, for their influence in our lives. Bring to mind someone even now that we need to pray for. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Bless and keep them, I pray. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.